So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Let's hear God's inerrant and infallible word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessing upon the reading and preaching of your word this morning, that Christ might be glorified as always and in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, mindfulness is an interesting subject today. I hear about it in corporate structure, in meetings discussing conflict resolution. I hear about it in stress reduction at work. Mindfulness was established as a practice. It's a Buddhist practice. It was established the University of Massachusetts Medical School in 1979 as a mindfulness-based stress reduction program, MBSR, by Jon Kabat-Zinn. He is still quite well known, still referenced constantly. I hear his name repeatedly at the hospital whenever we have training about conflict resolution or simply mindfulness as an exercise, during which time I usually pray and give thanks to the Lord for the day and spend a few moments of meditation with the Lord. But mindfulness is a program that is intentional, accepting, and non-judgmental as one focuses one's attention on the emotions, thoughts, and sensations occurring in the present moment. In other words, non-judgment, no absolutes, no God to whom we may appeal. We're trained by meditation practices derived from Buddhist Anapanasati. It simply means mindfulness. And it flows from Vipassana practice and Satipatthana and Anapanasati and all the various words that you don't really need to remember this morning, but it's helpful to know where these things come from. This mindfulness is used, employed in psychology to alleviate a number of mental and physical conditions in order to find an internal state of peace. That's the goal. To be at peace with oneself and the world, to be at peace. And so mindfulness is used as an obsessive compulsive disorder medication, as it were, as well as to help anxiety in the prevention of relapse in drug and depression addiction or drug addiction and depression. It's an interesting exercise whose ultimate intent is to find peace. Eckhart Tolle, who is often featured on Oprah's show that she has or has had in the past, often features Eckhart Tolle, who has become a spiritual advisor for mankind. But to be honest, I believe the man was what we used to call in my generation a bum. He did nothing. He was not very effective in his own life. He had long suffering seasons of depression, was not particularly hardworking, but became overnight a spiritual sensation by writing a book after he had an evening of inner transformation. What happened to him was he was struggling with depression. He was on the verge of killing himself. And a question arose in his mind. He says, who is the I that cannot live with myself? And what is the self? He said, I felt drawn into a void. And he reached a point where all the heaviness of his life and his problems lifted, his world collapsed, and there was no self left. Just a sense of presence or of beingness, just observing and watching the world. In other words, he detached from all the reasons that led him to understand that his life was a mess. And he simply said, I'm not going to be bothered by them anymore. And then he's led countless American people on that same journey. There's a trend in humanity and amongst mankind. And this trend is to seek peace. Peace of mind in various ways that will be methodological and or ideological and or manifestations of something by virtue of what we do with our physical selves. And more often than not, mindfulness and various other means and modes of obtaining peace help the inner person to no longer strive against self, against the world, against immorality, against things which must be judged as good or bad or evil in and of themselves. We seem to be in something mankind is in a storm, a chaos within himself, a chaos within ourselves, and we are all searching for, in some way, peace. You hear about programs for financial peace. You hear about mental peace. You hear about peace within relationships. Because the reality is that within humanity, we are often in chaos because present within us is constant conflict. We are in constant conflict, are we not? Even amongst friends, even amongst those who love one another, we are always in some form of conflict. Because we are often offended, easily offended, and because we easily offend the other and often offend. So we are both offensive and we are often offended in and of ourselves. And so peace is something that we frankly will always be grasping at and never really arriving. Mankind has so many different methods and means. I think the Rolling Stones sang a song, I can't get no satisfaction, but I try and I try and I try. Well, that's what the world's doing. Satisfaction. Somehow. And they try and they try and they try. Well, here's the answer. What we really need to do is approve medical marijuana. And not just medical marijuana, but recreational marijuana. That's what we've been told recently in the last few years. Sexual freedom of the 60s is now no judgment, and now we can be whatever we wish to be sexually and even with regard to our gender. We may deny what our eyes affirm as true and expect all you and me, all the rest of the world, to say happily, oh yes, the emperor has clothes when the emperor has none. LSD and meth and even innocent-seeming attempts such as spending more time in nature, having the right number of children, or not having any children, so that one might have personal peace, working to achieve a comfortable level of success so that one does not have any obligations, so that all financial responsibilities are paid, freedom from need with time off to enjoy the fruits of one's labor in the end. Isn't that the American dream? Reach an age of retirement to do it in the 50s and then buy that proverbial Winnebago and go and live out in nature and do nothing but go from place to place. Well, I'm here to tell you that none of those methods, none of those means will bring you inner peace. They will give you moments of peacefulness. Make no mistake. But inner, lasting, vital, heavy, sobering, serious, eternal peace cannot be found in any apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Transcendental meditation, openness, philosophy, pantheistic meditation, nature, life, the vegan lifestyle, environmental lifestyle, minimalist lifestyle, all of these things, living off-grid, Eastern centering exercises, labyrinth walks, centering prayer, guide and imagery, all of these things are intended to bring peace. I'm here to tell you, I walked the labyrinth once. I prayed as I went. It was required for a class. I didn't find any peace at the center, but I felt that the Lord was with me throughout the entire aberrant exercise. The truth is the matter is that God calls us into prayer. He calls us into a reliance upon himself. There's something better that God offers through grace. Peace with God. You can be at peace with yourself. You can be at peace with your friends and with your coworkers. You can be at peace with the world. You can be at peace with nature, namaste. But you've got to be at peace with God, because those things do not last. We must have peace with God by grace through our Creator, our Judge, our King, our Lord, our Sovereign, through grace brought about through the cross of Jesus Christ and the sin-covering, wrath-dissolving work that was completed there and received by faith. All of these things serve to establish peace. Think about it. It's an end of all hostility. It's not the least of which is our own state of rebellion and hatred against Him. That's what the Bible says. Yes, all of us are guilty of. He is righteous in His wrath against His rebellious creatures who have earned the wage of death through sin. I was just teaching Sunday school. We were talking about providence, Adam and Levi and myself. And I said, why does God have a, we asked a question relating to providence and God's right to demand of us that we glorify Him. And I said, why? And the answer was given to me, well, because He's God, and because we're His creatures. He has a right to expect of us as His creatures whatever He wants from the mouth of young boys. If one is right with God, has peace with God, then all else that is within can be renewed, refreshed within that cosmic and eternal reality of peace. And nothing for a believer, no matter how shaken in our mind and heart and because of circumstances, and even though the world is coming apart at the seams and wickedness is prevailing, the Christian can have perpetual, lasting, solid peace. If he or she understands that with God through Christ, I have peace eternal. And this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking of as a fruit of the Spirit that accrues to all believers, a portion of the fruit that is and accompanies all those who are of the faith. And so this is a fruit that we've spoken of earlier. A sowing and a reaping is mentioned in chapter 6, verse 8 of our present book. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so this is the fruit of the Spirit. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says in verses 43 and 45, you will know them by their fruit. If you're a Christian, your life will bear fruit for God in some way, even in small ways, maybe not quite so glorious as in others. And I find as a Christian that I see fruit in other people that I simply do not see in myself. I see fruit being born in them when I see little or no fruit in myself and I'm discouraged in my lack of fruitfulness. I can readily recognize it in other people. And the truth is that in various ways, all of us are growing in some small way, imperceptibly even perhaps, but little by little, year by year, day by day. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these things are being secretly, sovereignly worked in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've observed that about various thoughts about love and joy. We've surveyed the Scriptures. We've spoken about love and joy coming to us through Christ. This week, it's peace. And all of these things that are part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, these are not qualifications for the elect to somehow complete before we can be justified. They are the immediate and the natural outpouring of the attributes of God. When you became a Christian, the fruit of the Holy Spirit began to be born in your life. Little by little, you knew love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You began to practice love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. All of these things became yours. You began to imitate the Father. And you when you became a son of or a child of God. These things are the natural and immediate outpouring of the Holy Spirit within us. The attributes of God in the soul of men and women. These flow spontaneously from the Spirit-indwelt person who has been joined in union to Jesus Christ, in whom the love of the Father has been poured out. There's a relationship of the law to the Spirit. A vine doesn't produce grapes by act of parliament there or measure from the Senate or the House. They are the fruit of the vines of one's own life. So the conduct which conforms to this standard of the kingdom of God and produces fruit is not produced by any demand, not even God's, but it's the fruit of that divine nature which God gives us as the result of what he has done in and by and with Christ, as quoted by from Mr. Hook in his little book, What is Christianity? The law can no longer condemn or lock us up. The law has no further claim upon us when the righteousness of Christ is ours. When that is the case, the fruit of the Spirit begins to bear fruit. The Spirit of God begins to bear fruit in our life. Peace is that one which we take up this week. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of bad news. Peace is not the absence of adverse circumstances. Whereas we can get a mindset that says, I've had some peaceful days. As a human being, I have experienced peace. The peace of God that comes from no adverse circumstances and the lack of conflict. No, that's not the peace of God. That is a blessing. It's a blessing to not have conflict, to not be at each other's throats, isn't it? It's a blessing to enjoy days of sunshine and to be able to sit out and to take in the breeze and to breathe a breath, to take a deep one. But that's not the peace which God is speaking of, or the fruit-bearing peace for the child of God. It's not merely getting along with everyone. It's not death. Lots of people say, well, she's at peace now. How do you know that? Well, we commit him into the grave and he's at peace now. His soul, I'm speaking authoritatively, his or her soul is now at peace with God. On the basis of what? We cannot say that. In fact, God in his word complains against unworthy shepherds who speak peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace is not a peaceful moment in the afternoon sun. It's peaceful. It's a blessing of God. It's momentarily peace, but it's not the kind of peace that Scripture speaks of. There are many passages in Scripture that speak about peace. Listen to these wonderful verses. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So there is a peace scripturally that speaks to the anxiety of our own mind. And Jesus says, my peace I've given to you. It is a cup that is ever before you. Take and drink. Be relieved of all that causes you anxiety and fear. Take and drink deeply. Jesus has promised, the peace I leave with you, it's my peace and I've given it to you. John 16:31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home. And to leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Yes, the Christian has a perpetual peace. a peace which cannot be shaken nor taken away, a peace that is not in any way undermined by death or trials or troubles or conflict, or even a sense of, I don't feel very peaceful. The peace of Christ guards and keeps our minds. The peace of Christ has been given to us as a possession that is ours in Him. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that all the things that we are anxious about in our lives, things about fear, fearing future circumstances, fearing about our present day needs, the things that we are in so need of that we ask the Lord for, that when we ask the Lord for them, we leave them with them, with Him. And then we are guarded by an accompanying peace that says, I have made everything known to God that I need. And God has promised that He will address those things that I need. God will not fail me in His provision for those things. His will is good and perfect, and He will accomplish all that He intends for me. And He has promised that I can bring things to Him and make supplication, and He Himself will hear from heaven. And He will provide everything that agrees with His will. One way or the other, He will provide and He will see me through. I can walk away from prayer absolutely certain that nothing can touch me. We should be able to anyway, because we have peace that guards our hearts, because we have made known to God all of our needs, and He is the one who has promised that He will hear. Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. An end to hostilities. No further conflict. God is not against you. God is not angry with you as an act of judgment anymore. God's judgment against you has come to an end. It has been fully and completely satisfied in the cross of Jesus Christ. In Christ who died upon the cross. Let's be a little bit more accurate. God can demand nothing further of you because Christ has accomplished all of it. He simply calls us into this blessed state of bearing fruit in Christ, which is our highest privilege and greatest obligation, to glorify our Savior. Peace with God. I have peace with God. You have peace with God because you're justified by grace through faith. But now in Christ, according to Ephesians 2:13, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Dear friends, we are not to be in conflict with each other. If your feelings are hurt this morning because of a brother or a sister in the Lord, go to them before you leave this place and ask to be reconciled. Share your concern. You shouldn't have come to worship until you did. But now you're here. Go and be reconciled. Because if you're a child of God, the peace of God reigns in your heart and your life. Do not let conflict reign in your heart. Let the peace of God and the peace of Christ reign in your life. Be at peace. I don't know about you, but conflict doesn't exactly frighten me. Conflict sometimes is necessary, especially when I've got to make a phone call to someone who needs to hear from me, some bill collector or something. You know, they've done something wrong. They've charged me for something that I didn't actually purchase, and I'm ready. I call them up, and I'm ready to duke it out, and I'm good in conflicts like that. Christine knows that I'm the one that needs to get on the phone. And because she is very, very kind and very, very, she sues for peace continually. There are moments when conflict is good. when it's necessary to conflict for the establishment of right as opposed to what has been done wrong. However, there must come a moment when the conflict ends. There is a resolution to the moment, and then we are at peace. Trouble is that as a human being, my conflicts are more often than not just. Often I'm in conflict in my mind or in my heart, bitterness over some circumstance. You find yourself in the same way? We are to be peaceful people. We are to be those who very clarify with our conduct and our lives that we are at peace with God. Peace in general is a state resulting from the end of hostilities. Hostilities have come to an end, peace is established. It's vital that we recognize that peace involves an end to hostility, that hostility did precede that peace that comes. As Christians, we understand that. The peace we enjoy is a peace that we now enjoy post-hostility. There was a state in which we were once walked when we were hostile and against God. Eventually, in general, again, that peace that we're discussing leads to protection by the victor of the vulnerable and obedience by the formerly rebellious, which results in a season of blessing and of quiet prosperity. Peace is the antithesis of war. It's an exemption from the ravages of war. It's harmony. Now, biblically, scripturally, we've reviewed a few ways in which peace is understood, but essentially, the soul is no longer in rebellion or enslaved to self or sin, but the soul is at peace with God. Now, we cannot bring ourselves into that state. God must bring us into it. But it is something which He provides, that state of peace, that peace which Christ gives to us. When we are assured of His love, we are at the end of hostility, we are content and grateful recipients of His grace. We are at rest and in covenant with God, brought about through Jesus Christ. That is the peace that we are given. Now you may think, well, I don't really think much of peace. Well, the alternative is the very extraordinary hostility of God with His drawn bow and His reared back arm and the right power, the right hand power of His mighty is arrayed against you. His red eyes and His breathing, snorting nostrils are described by the psalmist as His perspective toward the wicked. And so if you don't really care about peace with God and you've not obtained peace with God through grace and according to faith and repentance, then in fact the hostility of God is still against you because you are still in a position of hostility against Him yourself. If you have not come in faith to Jesus Christ, yes, you are still in a position of hostility against God. You have waged war. You're not prepared. And one day the judgment of God will be against you, and He will accomplish what He has purposed from all eternity, to destroy the wicked and to save the righteous. Your only hope is to turn in faith to Jesus Christ, to look to Him alone who can reconcile you to God, who breaks the hostility and brings hostility to an end. He alone can reconcile you, and we must have peace with God. Let me make a few points of application here at the end. We've made a couple, but let me add a couple more. Christians, we need to act in line with, we need to walk in line, act in step with the leading of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, He is creating peace, love, joy, all of this fruit, this many-sided aspect of fruit-bearing in the Christian life. Let your conflicts go. Determine in your heart. Make a resolution before God. I am not going to hold on to old conflicts, old hurts, old things that still make me bitter in my heart. I was reading the story in the news yesterday about the man. His name is Joseph. I forget his last name. His son's name was Justin. And he was a student at a Christian university and a wrestler. He's a big, strong kid, and he was studying theology. His intent was to obtain a certificate in theology, a degree in theology from this Christian university out Midwest. And he had a friend. I guess there was some kind of a conflict that developed in the lunch line. And a fellow wrestler on the wrestling team came later on, 21-year-old, and he choked him to death. This boy, Justin. And his father, I guess, got up in front of the church and he said, somewhere this last week, and he said, he spoke to all of his friends and he said, I want to tell all the rest of you out there that I was filled with anger and hatred. All the questions of why and how God could permit this. And in the end, he said, I've decided that the only thing that I can do is to forgive this person because God has forgiven me. What else is there that he could do? Why live in constant conflict and bitterness over this? He's simply giving occasion to Satan for sin. I'll tell you, only God can move a human being to that position. You may say, well, I could never forgive someone for killing my dear one, my loved one. But God can work peace in the heart of a believer. And God's intention is that you and I would be peaceful people, willing to forgive offenses, willing to forgive old hurts that someone has committed against us, willing to let them go because the peace of God is guarding my life, my mental state, my heart. We are commanded to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And we are to act out of what we are. How we live must be a demonstration of what we are on the basis of our union with Him. We belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. How can we live in conflict? How can we hold on to a loss of peace? Christians cannot abandon self-righteousness in order to believe in Jesus Christ without also abandoning self-indulgence and commitment to the flesh. Trusting in Christ means living in Christ. Are you trusting in Christ? Wonderful. Now, are you living in Christ? That means your life must bear fruit with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, as we've said. We've referred to that conflict and the contentious nature of the relationship between the flesh and the Spirit. In our heart of hearts, we know that we need to not be in this conflict, but in our flesh, we are angry, we are hurt, we are offended. We are distraught. We are pulled in opposite directions, continually involved in the contradiction and difficulty of Romans 7:18-22. I am not what I ought to be, O wretched man that I am. The good that I want to do, I do not do. The evil that I do not want to do, I do. But if we walk by the Spirit, if we pray to be fruitful, if we pray that He would lead and create a greater desire to the fruit of the Spirit and decrease our appetite for the flesh, yes, the Holy Spirit will be at work in you, both to will and to do His good will. Further, Christians, as a point of application, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." In that immediate context preceding that, Jesus had just come up out of the river. He had been baptized. John had baptized Jesus, and there was the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus in Matthew 5, when he's preaching, says, "You, if you're in me, you are a child of God." It's an extraordinary statement. God the Father looks down upon Jesus being baptized and he says, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with him." And Jesus says, "The same may be stated over you if you're in me. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." God sees when you sue for peace. God sees when you sue in conflict. God sees when you refuse to be reconciled to your brothers or sisters. God sees when you fail to be or to live at peace with your loved ones. Husbands, wives, should you not be at peace with your spouse? Children, should you not be at peace with your parents? Parents, should you not be at peace with your children? Don't let conflict go on and on and on. Don't hold things against one another. Don't continue to remind your loved one, "I have this against you. I haven't forgotten." Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Don't continue to hold things against your mother, your father. We've all experienced hurt. I'm sure my own children can look upon certain days or moments when I failed, when I failed to give them the advice that I should have, when I was harsh in my judgment, or when I was not as gentle as I ought to have been. What will you do? Will you allow conflict to remain? Will you lose out on blessing because you refuse to, until this is made right, until it is recognized and acknowledged, you refuse to be at peace? Well, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God." There is motivation there enough to sue for peace, to deny the conflict, to resolve the discontent and the fighting. You know, peace comes by an extraordinary work of redemption and reconciliation. God and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is brought home and applied to the Christian through the indwelling Holy Spirit is alone the source of real peace. You will never know real peace until you experience the peace of God that comes from knowing that Christ has regarded your helpless estate and the conflict which you had with God and the rebellion against God of which you and I are guilty has been dissolved in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God now sees you as a child. Peace is often calculated on the basis of immediate relief or physical comfort or the removal of pain or mental calm, absent of fear and worry, or the proverbial bowl of stew taken up at the expense of eternal treasures and comforts and lasting joys. Didn't Esau do that? All in the interests of, "Well, I'm hungry." But the Christian looks at the peace of God and says, "There's something more important than my immediate hunger or my immediate pain relief or than my immediate rest and calm of my mental state into anguish. More than any other thing, I need peace with God through Jesus Christ. And if I have it, I have peace." Human effort without the grace and aid of God cannot create peace, cannot remove or dissolve the forces and sickness and sin and pressures that continue to keep us perpetually in a condition of disruption and opposition. If God is the Lord of peace, then he can give momentary peace or apprehension of the spiritual relationship of peace in which we stand with God. And thus peace is always possible for the Christian because God is Lord of peace. He is the Lord of your peace, and he is keeping peace for you. He has established peace, and he gives and he dispenses and establishes peace in the life of the Christian where there wasn't any before. So the Christian continues to live day by day, continually in every way, contrary to our circumstances, independent of our emotional state, irrespective of our circumstances, untouched by anxiety, fears, or doubt, unable to be confined to personal comfort, having a cosmic impact, changing the very course of our eternity, I have peace with God. I am at peace with God. Dear friend, will you not let the peace of God wash over your anxious soul today? If you are in Christ, you have peace with God. An unapproachable, unadulterable, unshaken peace which cannot change. And it's an unceasing need, but it's unbroken, continually possessed, gratefully acknowledged, treasured, meditated upon. It is yours in Christ, your Savior. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? John 14. You have peace. You have peace with God through understanding and knowing God, knowing His promises, knowing His work. Your comfort comes in knowing Him. And therefore, because of that, you ought to, dear friend, work peace in your life. Seek peace. Make peace. Pursue it. Know it because you know Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. May God grant you His peace this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray.